Send the blessings that you so need and desire. So as we come tonight, let us lay everything aside, every weight, and let us use this hour we come where we can just give him all the praise and the glory. My God, someday we ask, but this is the time where we set aside for this little period where we are going to give him the praise and let him be glorified and be exalted. Hallelujah. Welcome again, brethren. And as we get ready to go do our devotional exercise, I call for Sister Pamela to come forward in Jesus' name and do our devotional exercise for us. God bless you. Let us be praying, brethren, and let us keep our eyes on the Lord, that he will work a mighty work in our midst tonight, and hold up Sister Camille's hand as she teach us the word in Jesus' name. Praise God. Sister Pamela.
Amen.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Bless the Lord.
It's really a privilege to be here tonight. I'm grateful, you know, all from yesterday I was asking the Lord, what should I share? What is it should I share up to this morning? I haven't got a word, but thank God I'm here today with the devotional word. And I just want to give him the glory. I just want to give him the honor and the praise for
Amen.
What he has been doing and what he promised that he will continue to do in our lives, in the lives of his people. Today, I'll be looking at the covenant box. We're looking at how, all right, we're going to look at, we all know the story of, all know the story about David. And how the Lord gave him a specific order to take the covenant box to Jerusalem. But things change, you know. He was supposed to transport it, but the Lord gave direct instruction, you know, as it relates to the ark. And the ox, they stumbled, and, you know, Uzzah went and touched it, and he died. And that brings fear. I would be fearful also if I was there, you know. That brings fears to all the people that was there, and including David. David was so fearful that he didn't bother with the journey. He detoured, you know, he did not take the box to Jerusalem as he was instructed to. Because of what happened, he became so fearful that he detoured. And he went to Obed's house, Obed-Edom's house, a native of Gath. He went there and he left the covenant there because of the fear of carrying that box. Mm. But my main focus tonight is on verse 11. You know, where the box was at this man's house for 3 months,
mm-hmm.
complete months. And when I look up the covenant box or the ark of the covenant, what it really signifies the presence of the Lord, the sacred presence yes. of the Lord. And yes. when I see how the box was placed at that man's house, when I read the story, I was like, wow, everything changed for that man.
Yeah.
So blessed. The
My
house,
God.
His Hallelujah. Family, everything there was blessed. His children, his wife, his sir, everybody was just blessed. 3 months, the covenant was at that man's house. And I look at it and I question myself, is the presence of the Lord in my house?
Yeah.
The question also goes for my brothers and my sister. Is the presence of the Lord in your house?
Oh, God.
If the presence of the Lord is in your house, there must be a difference. There must be something different, something awesome, something Amen. Magnificent going, happening in there. Because what? We're in the presence of the Lord's presence is there. And to be in the Lord's presence, For me, it feels so, I feel like you never feel like just worship, and the tears just coming down, you're just praising, you're just full of worship. That special anointing, that feel, I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, but when you're in the presence of the Lord, it is such a sweet feeling. And the fact that, the box was at this man's house, and for 3 months, blessings upon blessings, things happening, miracles happening. Tonight, I just want to encourage you, ensure that the presence of the Lord is in your house. Ensure the presence of the Lord is in your house.
Amen.
That if the presence of the Lord is in your house, the demons, the devils, they're going to be afraid to enter because there is something there. And they're not going to call and come in the house because they come in there, they're not going to get saved. And the demons, they're not going to get saved. So let them stay out there. So there are times also because the presence of in your house sometimes has visitors and they want to leave center because they might feel uncomfortable because there's that connection, But brethren and sis brothers and sisters, let us ensure that the presence of the Lord is in our house. And the thing that when David heard what was happening to Obed's house, he was so excited to the fact that he come back for the covenant, for the box. He came back for it, and he was when he got it, he started to rejoice. He praised. He was so overwhelmed that it's like he danced his clothes off. He worship. He was just worship. He just worshiping, and he
My
has
God,
us.
hallelujah.
That he is to obey what the Lord told him to ask him to do. That is what he should do. But this time, when he take the covenant box from Obed's house to Jerusalem, he ensured that the Levites they took it on their shoulder this time, not on a pole, where the ox would take it. They take it. He followed the instruction this time. This time, he ensured that he obeyed the law. He obeyed what the Lord instructed him to do. And with that, it gives him peace. It gives him joy. That's the fact that he danced. He danced until his clothes start to fall off him. This is what we as Christians should experience when we're in the presence of the Lord, a different kind of joy, a different kind
Amen.
of peace. Something must be different when the presence of Lord is around us, but the presence of the Lord is
Amen.
there must be something, and things will happen. Things will happen. And tonight, I just want to say, let us remain in the presence of the Lord always. In our cars, presence of the Lord must be in there. In our work, or our home, when we walk, the presence of the Lord should be with us always. And I know that with God being there with us, we are well protected. So let us be mindful that it is very, very important to just stay in God's presence, where there will always be fullness of joy, the joy that David experienced. He experienced that joy. And I just want Sister Camille, if you just play that song, that no matter what we're going through, it doesn't matter what is happening, we feel like we are failing or whatever, never slip out, never walk out, to remain in the present, because God, he promised that he will never leave us. He promised that he will not forsake us. We may fail, but the Lord, he never failed us yet. So let us remain in his presence. Let us
Amen.
stay in his presence.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior.
Praise God.
That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him, because I know that he will never fail me. You know that he will never fail you. And that's why it's important for us to just continue to stay in his presence so that we can hear where he can lead and guide us. Stay in God's presence, because we know that he will never fail us no matter what. He will be there. And that's his word, that he will be there. He said that he will fight for us. Let us stay in his presence always. Heavenly Father, we just want to glorify your name. We wish to lift you up, Almighty God. We thank you, O God, for your grace and your mercies that are new every single day. We thank you, Almighty God, that without you, God, we are nothing. We are all failures, Almighty God, without you. And so, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that, God, we as your children, no matter what, we will remain in your presence. No matter what the circumstances, situations are, God, we will remain where you have called us to. Father, I pray, oh God, that as we go through tonight, that God will be with us, that God, as the Bible studies go out, God, help us, oh God, to not just to hear, but God, apply it to our hearts, and that we remain with us, Almighty God, that we will learn. I pray, oh God, for your divine courage on this platform. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that no weapon that is formed against our leader or admins, God, it will not prosper. Father, cover your children under your blood. And I pray, oh God, that as we go through tonight, that Father, you will be with us. Your presence will be with us, Almighty God. Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do for us and what you promised that you will do for us. Father, we just lift you up tonight, and we give you and you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And God, I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just being there for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise
Bless
God.
The Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you, everyone. I just hand over to Sister Camille now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, people of God.
Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Sister Nadine, before I begin, did you have any remarks?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say welcome to us tonight on the platform, each and every one of us. As we come tonight, you know, feel welcome in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. And we come to, you know, hear from the Lord. And so we have given him the praise and in our devotional exercise. So let us hear what he has to say to us, and let us just feast from his word. Thank you very much for joining. Thank you, Sister Pamela, for the devotion at this time. And God bless you. Sister Camille, we call you forth to the podium to speak to God's people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Amen, amen, amen.
Bless
God bless you,
Lord.
Sister Nadine. Thank you so much, people of God. It's a blessing to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise
amen.
God. As we come tonight, we're going to be talking. We're going to continue to look at our spiritual gifts. And I want to remind us, and, you know, just get some persons alerted that it is going to be a discussion. So as I share, I invite you to go ahead and indicate that you want to share and just share what is laid on your heart so that we can learn from each other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so just before we get started, I want us to check in tonight. I want to know how the people of God are doing. And Sister Camille, I'm checking in. I am blessed in the Lord. I want you to just use the chat and just share. You're checking in. How are you feeling tonight? In Jesus' name. Go right ahead. Just put them in the chat like a waterfall effect. One behind the other, they should come in. Bless the Lord. Let me give you a minute so that you can go ahead and type. Blessed and highly favored. Amen. Praise God. Sister Dawn. Praise God. Let me see who else. If you want to unmute and just speak it in the atmosphere, go ahead. When we speak it, you know, we're declaring that somebody else have the opportunity to receive it. Amen. Sister Nadine says, I'm happy. Sister Tanya says, feeling grateful. Amen, Sister Tanya. Blessed. Amen. Blessed. Sister Alicia trying to... They're coming in like a waterfall. Praise God. Jehovah's grace. And
amen.
To know, to be
bless
still and
Lord.
To know that he's God. Amen. Blessed to be alive, holding on. All right, Brother Nigel, God bless you. Sister Mitzeline, grateful. Sister Kareen, Sister Pamela, thankful and peaceful. Sister Terry, Sister Mervyn, it's good to have you back with us. Sister Mervyn, God bless you. Grateful, waving my hallelujah praise. Sister Tamaya, I wave with you too. In Jesus' name, God is faithful, Elder. Grateful for God's grace. Praise God. And so we just
Amen.
exalt the name of Jesus. All of these are good reports.
Amen.
Amen. And so we want to magnify the
Amen.
Lord. Regardless of what might be happening, our reports are still good. And we exalt the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Blessed and highly favored. God has been good to me. I can't complain. It is well. God bless you, Sister Chantel. Praise God. Sister Shanique, I see your response already. I don't remember if I see it. I don't see her yet, Sister Shanique. Please check in, Sister Shanique. Bless the Lord. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. We have been looking at the gifts. All right, bless you, Sister Shanique. We have been looking at the gifts of the Spirit, and we would have started probably two, was it two Bible studies ago? And tonight we're going to continue to look at these gifts. And just to recap in a nutshell, we have been looking at some of the different gifts and we see how they operate. We know that a gift is something that is given to someone with nothing in exchange for it. You don't pay money to get your gifts. It's a gift. That's what it's called. It's a present. It's given willingly. Amen. And so we looked, anybody remember any of the other gifts that we had looked at? Let me see who was paying attention. Anybody, you can go ahead and share. Any, we looked at about
The gift
eight
of
gifts.
manifestation.
So yeah, the manifestational gifts is a category. All right, Sister Nicole, you're paying attention, man. God is good. All right, anybody else?
Yes, I think we look at interpretation of tongues,
Looked at.
prophecy, gift of prophecy. I think we went on to the gift of faith and the gift of healing.
All right. Deacon Brent, man. Praise God. All of those, you're correct, man. You're correct. Praise God. And so to close off that section of it tonight, I just have a little part. We had the last gift we looked at was healing, the gift of healing the last time. Have a little part left that I just want to close off. And then we're going to do the gifts of miracle, and that would finish off the manifestational gifts, and then we'll flow into another set of gifts. Amen. So time permitting, we'll go as the Holy Spirit leads. Now we talked about the gift of healing, amen, the last time, and we were looking at some instances where people would have experienced healing in the Word of God. We said that healing can be progressive, or it can be immediate. Amen. I think we examined a situation where Naaman would have had leprosy, and he would have been given divine instructions to go to River Jordan to dip seven times, and he came out clean and we clean, free from leprosy. And we had looked at it and said, no, that would have been an example of progressive healing. He had to do it. It's not just you go down to Jordan and you dip one time and then you're out and then you're clean. No, he had to dip seven times. So it's something that, happened over time. I'm supposing that maybe when he dip and come up, it looked a little clearer. There was no evidence as to how it looked in the Bible, but he had to follow that direct instructions, all of it, and he had to do that which the Lord would have asked him to do through his manservant. And we're going to pick up there tonight. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 26. Mark 8, 22 to 26. We're going to look at that scripture. It just in brief. When you get to that scripture, you'll find that there's a certain man who was named in that scripture called in the city of Bethsaida, who was blind, and he was brought to Jesus. And they begged Jesus to touch him, and Jesus spat on his eyes and covered it with his hand before releasing him. And when he was asked if he could see, he said yes, he could see people that looked like trees walking around, but there was no clarity of vision. Amen. And then it said, the Bible says that Jesus would have touched him again, and then he was able to see everything clearly. An example of progressive healing, right? The first time he touched, he was healed to an extent because he could see, but it just wasn't clear. And so when Jesus touched him again, everything became clear. That's an example of progressive healing. You know, it happens over time. It didn't happen in the first opportunity, the first chance. It happened over maybe a short period, but it's still over a period of time. Amen. And so
Amen.
there are other instances. So that's progressive healing. And I said there are other instances where healing happens through the divine manip. Yes, it happened in stages. Thank you, Sister Alicia. The other instances where healing happens through divine manifestation of the power of God. You know, when the healing works together with the gift of miracles. Remember, we talked about coupling of the gifts when one work in conjunction with another. So when healing works in conjunction with the gift of miracle, then it is manifested with immediate effect. It happened instantly. And when it happens, it's usually in supernatural ways, right? When we look, I wanted to turn to Luke 5 verses 12 to 25. Luke 5 verses 12 to 25. And when we look at this scripture, we see a man that was completely covered in leprosy. The Bible talk a lot about leprosy, you know. And, you know, coming to Jesus with humility and faith, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Right? Can you make me clean, Lord? It's pretty much what he was saying. And without hesitation, Jesus touched the man, breaking social and ceremonial boundaries. He touched the man because the man had leprosy, you know. And you know, when you have leprosy, you don't touch those persons. But Jesus touched the man, and instantly the man was healed. It wasn't gradual, it wasn't in stages, it wasn't over time. But with immediate effect, this man was made clean. And so we see the manifestation there of healing. And I think it's a number of gifts coming out. Healing coupled with the gift of miracle for it to be instant, and faith, because the man had faith, right? He came to the Lord and said, you know, make me clean. Will you make me whole? You make me clean, right? And so he experienced healing with immediate effect. Amen. When we look at that same passage now, from verse 17 to 25, we realize that when the paralyzed man friends lowered him through the roof, we see where Jesus sees their faith and first heals him spiritually by forgiving him of his sins. And then the persons who were there, the religious leaders who were there, started to question, you know, who is this man? But Jesus spoke by his divine authority, instantly restoring strength to the body. And the man was able to stand up and carry his bed and walk away praising God. And this is another example of instantaneous healing, right? And there are many others in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood, we know that story, touched the hem of the garment and she was made whole. Peter and John went to pray, right? And they saw the lame man and him saying, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what happened to the man? He walked and he leaped and he praised God, right? So that is another example of instantaneous healing happens instantly. I want to point out quickly as I close off this that whether healing comes to us instantly or progressively in stages, whether it is through a spoken word, through a prayer, or through medical attention. When we go to the doctor and they would prescribe and diagnose and carry us to do whatever we need to do, whatever procedure we need to do. However, healing comes, it comes from God. They're just as effective and they
Amen.
come from God. Amen. So, as Christians, let us not, neglect the doctor's instruction and say, me not take it because whatever, whatever. I'm not saying we should always go for all the medication, but seek the Lord about it. Because sometimes he'll work through the medication that we get from the doctor. And there are other times when he'll just heal. He'll require change in diet. There are so many different ways that the Holy Spirit can work. He's not put in a box. He's not locked in. But whatever the instructions are, let us seek the Lord about it. And whatever he says, let us aim to carry out that instructions to our best. Amen. Anybody has
Amen.
anything to share before we wrap up the gift of miracles? Well, we'll wrap up the gift of healing and flow into the gift of miracles. All right. Bless the Lord. Remember, we said it's a discussion, you know? All right. I'll leave you to warm up some more. Now, we're looking now at the final manifestational gift. This is a power gift, and it is called the gift of miracles. Now, the gift of miracles is the ability to bring about supernatural results. So, from you think about miracles, you think about supernatural results or occurrences that are above the laws of nature. Nature says this man is lame, this man is crippled, he can't walk. There's evidence of this. The gift of miracles can be manifested and defy that law. Where yesterday, the man that was lame in a chair get up and is able to walk. And this process is instant, right? And as I would have shared before, this process, gift of miracles, sometimes work alongside the gift of healing. Now, there's a Greek phrase called, I'm going to put it in the chat, energimata dynamion. It literally translates to workings of power. And when I saw dynamion, I think about the dunamis power of God. Those of us who know about it, those of us who don't know, you can go ahead and do some research. The dunamis power of God. Now, if you notice that the word it has double plurals. Right, most likely means that these gifts are diverse. There's no one way that the gift of miracles will manifest. It's diverse. They're many and varied, right? And they operate within the will of God. So even if as a believer the Lord would have used you to perform a miracle, to pray for somebody and they get healing, or to tell somebody to get up and walk, and they're able to, there is still no guarantee that you will be able to do it to whoever you want to do it to. It's strictly based on what God will allow. You go and you pray, and somebody lame is able to walk today. You go and you pray tomorrow, and in a similar situation, and it doesn't manifest. It's not, it has nothing to do with the individual. It's strictly based on the will of God and how he wants and how he'll allow that gift to operate. All right? We know as because I would have said that the gifts are subjected to God's will and his purposes are not decided by who performs those miraculous works. No, the carrier of the gifts are just mediums whom God has authorized to access the manifestation to these gifts. So if you are able to operate in a gift, for example, singing, for example, prayer and intercession, and you operate in strong or sharp discernment, you are just a medium. You're just a vessel. And God has authorized you as a vessel to access the manifestation of these gifts. That's how it works. It's not, oh, I want this and I operate in this gift and it's about me. No, it's about what God has access given us access to the manifestation of those gifts. All right, we access them and God decides when those gifts will be manifested. The gift of miracle, whenever it is manifested, it's always supernatural. Always supernatural. If it's not supernatural, it's not a miracle. Right? Miracles are supernatural because they cannot be produced by human effort alone. Right? They cannot be produced by human effort alone. They would need the manifestation of the dunamis power of God. We need the power of God to be manifested in order for it to be a miracle. And I don't recall, I don't know if I have shared this testimony with you before, but I'm going to share it now very quickly, where I saw this gift, where I saw miracles manifested before my very eyes. I remember when I came up on the teaching program to America to start teaching, and it was such a difficult task, you know, the transition, and everything was different, everything was new. We were learning all sort of curriculum, all sort of changes. It's a new environment, new food, all sort of things, right? Anyway, I remember we have like a EOG, which is the end of year test that we would need to do. The children would need to do. And I remember praying, you know, me and another colleague of mine who was is a Jamaican, we would pray in the mornings. And when it came up to the exam time, we fasted for that week and we prayed. I remember praying and asking God for a miracle. I said, God, I need you to show me something that, you know, when I see it happen, I have to say, no, man, this must be God Himself. And that was what I prayed. And we went into the test. I was invigilating the test and I saw one of my students raise his hand. So when I went over to him, he said to me, Miss, when I came upon this question, it was already answered on the computer. I said, what do you mean? He said, see there, I didn't choose any answer. The answer is already clicked. So I looked at it and I saw that the answer was correct. And I said to him, well, if I said, read the question and just select your answer. If you're in agreement with this answer, let us say. If not, you can go ahead and change it. And he said, okay. And I watched him and he skipped past the question. And by the time I could move away, there was another student towards the back. And she called me when I went over there and I said, what's wrong? The very same thing she said. She said, what, Miss, when I came upon this question, the answer was already selected. And I told her the same thing. When I came home and I was reflecting, I said, God, this had to be you. I don't think, you know, persons may say it's a malfunction of the computer or whatever it is. But when I looked at the answers, the computer would malfunction and choose the right answer. This is the power of Almighty God. I don't know
My
how he
God.
did it, but I was just convinced in my spirit that God, this is you. This is the power of God, you know, manifesting miracles, sign and wonder. Right before my very eyes. Amen. And so we glorify God. Praise God. No. All right. Amen. It must be God. When we examine Ezekiel, see? Salinet, Minister Salinet saw it happen to students in a test too. Praise God. Bless the Lord. All right. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 10 is a very familiar scripture when we see it's a valley of dry bones, right? When we examine the scripture, we see when Ezekiel went into the valley of dry bones and Ezekiel was able to witness what happened. Bones coming together, first of all, without him having to touch, bones came together, flesh grew on the bones, and they re received life at God's command. There was a shaking. Yes, Minister Lynette. Yes, there's a shaking. Saw the bones coming together, the flesh growing on the bones, and life was given to these to individuals. No, can they become people, right? Can you imagine when we teach with the skeletal system, we know that the bones in the human body, we have what, 206 bones, I believe, in the human body. And can you imagine those bones coming together to what would you do? I don't know what I would do if I saw that happening before my very eyes. Probably my first instinct would probably be to run. You know, I don't know. I don't know how I would deal with it. But 206 bones came together, flesh came over those bones. You can imagine organs going into place, heart start to pump, all sort of things start to happen. Right? And so, yes, it came together and life, bodies form, and life was, breathed into that body. And this illustrate that this is an illustration that the gift of miracles can bring, restoration and life to hopeless situations. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead, Elder.
Good night, everyone.
Good
Sister
night.
Camille, as I hear you mention the Valley of Dry Bones, whenever I reflect on that scripture, I always think of a lot of bones mixing up together. Like my finger is in Kingston, my toe is in Montego Bay, and each of my bone would find the connected bone that make Eulalie. I just love that scripture, and I just had to add that. The bones all over the place, and yet still they come together. My God, what a God.
What a God, Elder. Thank you for sharing. I never even look at it like that to think that, it's more than, I know, just one person in there. So, you go, even though you have bones in the finger, you go have bones in the finger for Tom and for Harry and for Sarah and for whoever else was in there. And they just came together and formed. It shows the power of Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. And so we saw where the power of God came and, miracle, sign and wonder before Ezekiel's very eyes. Amen. We said we want to see it, we said we want to experience it, the miracles of God. And I want to do it too. But to be honest with you, if I was in that situation, I don't know. I don't know how I would respond. But God is good. We continue. And as I bring this down to a close, we see sometimes where the gift of miracle is manifested through, is activated and utilized in the Word of God. There are other instances. For example, I remember studying the book of Joshua, and I saw where Joshua called for the sun to stand still for hours. Remember when we talked about it earlier, we said that the gift of miracle, when it's manifested, it defies nature's order. So nature would have it that the sun would be out for a certain number of hours, and then the sun would set. Well, the earth would turn, and we would be exposed to night, to the moon. But we saw where Joshua was able to call for the sun to stand still, and it did for hours. And that is the manifestation of the gift of miracle, of the gift of miracle happening right there with Joshua. Can you imagine the sun, for the sun to stand still, and let me I'm a teacher, so I like to use illustration. Let us say that this is the sun, and I hope you're able to see me. This is the sun, my phone, right? The sun is fixed in the sky on one side, and on the other side is where the moon is. No, this is planet Earth, and it's tilted and it rotates. So that's how we experience day and night. Right now, the part of the bottle with the G is experiencing day because it's turned to the sun. And then the other side of the bottle is experiencing night because it turned to the moon. So when the Earth turns, no, and this side where the G was gone over to the moon, it's now night on this side and day on the opposite side. No, can you imagine when Joshua come out for the sun to stand still? The sun wasn't moving anyway. But it's the earth that really stood in up. Because if the sun is shining on this side where Joshua is, and he called for the sun to stand still, and they still experience sunlight for how many hours, it means that the earth turned up. The earth never, because if it turned, it would go around to experience night. But it didn't, it stood there. Can you imagine? Mighty God. So the people that were on the other side would probably be experiencing night, for hours, because one side is experiencing days for hours. It's mind-blowing. That's the only word I can
Amen.
use to describe it. It is mind-blowing. Amen. Praise God. Anybody wants to share before we move along? Go ahead, Sister Chantal.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
I remember this was probably one of my first lessons when I started attending Sunday school as a child that really got me thinking, because we were very intense in our Sunday school. It was a lot of Bible studying for young children. And at that age, we were like probably around 10, 11. And what they would normally do, my Sunday school teachers, they would tell us to go home and research. And I remember that time, around that time, I would be probably around grade 5, grade 6. And I was already doing science and so on. And we know we're talking about the solar system. And when that came up, it was so interesting to know, how did that happen? That's the first question we keep on asking our teacher. She said, listen to me, I don't teach science. You better go and research it. So I remember we went, and it was just a lot of things, that were happening with that scripture. But just to know how it defies the laws of physics, it defies the laws of geology, everything that had to do with study of Earth and whatever stars and whatever galaxies, it just defied all of that, just to show that the Earth does belong to God and He is the creator of it all. And if He decides to stop this, no man can say, don't do that. He controls every single thing. So it's just amazing. I just wanted to say that.
Yes, thank you so much, Sister Chantal. I do concur, and I probably wouldn't be able to explain. It's a miracle. There's no other explanation, but there's supernatural help. That's it. Supernatural help from Almighty God. That's where it came from. Amen. And so if you search the Bible, people of God, you will see many, many instances where the gift of a miracle is manifested. Right, Jesus's first miracle was when he went to the wedding and they ran out of wine, and he changed, he turned the water into wine, right? And you can go through excuse me, you can go through the word for yourself and just find those manifestation of the gift of miracle. And as I close this off, I want to say that the gift of miracle is spirit given, right? It's supernatural and it's purpose driven. It confirms God's word. It addresses impossible situations, and it manifests the glory of God. Whether it be to meet physical need or to restore life or to control natural events, it is always a demonstration of God's power. It's never about the vessel. It's never about the person who God uses. It's always about the power of God. And that's where our focus should always be, glorifying God, because it is through him we are able to experience the gifts of a miracle. Amen. And that tonight brings us to the end of the manifestational gifts of the Spirit. There are nine of them, and it's safe to say we have covered all nine of those gifts: diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts of healing, gifts of miracle, gift of prophecy, discerning of spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the gift of faith. Nine, these are all manifestational gifts. Bless the Lord. There is another set of, and these are all found in 1 Corinthians. There's another set of gifts, and these gifts that I want, I'm not sure if I'll get to cover tonight. They're found in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, and these are office gifts. These are gifts that are given to leaders within a ministry. And it's also known as the fivefold ministry. All right? Praise God. So we're going to go into that now. The word of God in Ephesians 4, verse 11. Can I have a reader for that? Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12.
I'll go to Sister Camille.
Go ahead.
Okay, so Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And those are the members are the offices that operate within the fivefold ministry. Sister Chantal would have listed them: some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that would make up the fivefold ministry. Now, these gifts, as it would have said, they are gifts, right? They're given for three purposes, and it's right there in the scripture. The first purpose is for the perfecting and the maturing of the saints. It's right there for the perfecting and the maturing of the saints. So that's why you have the fivefold ministry. And like I said, it's a set of gifts that would have been given to leaders, based on my understanding. The second reason or purpose for these gifts or these offices is for the perfecting of the saints, the first one. Two, the work of ministry. That's the second one. And three, for the edifying and strengthening of the body of Christ. All right. No, you want me to put them in the chat, I can. But it's right there in the scripture. These, so you can highlight it in your Bible. These ministry offices are special leadership roles that Christ himself appointed to the church to fulfill these divine purposes, the purposes that were listed before, those three purposes. They are far more than natural talents or personal abilities. They are God-ordained positions. It's not a position that is given based on who I like and I want to choose because you support me. I'm going to choose you to operate in this office and choose. No, these are God-ordained positions and that are used for the building up of the church, for leading the believers in unity, spiritual maturity, and effective service. And when we have these gifts and they are just given to somebody that God didn't necessarily ordain or appoint, you're going to find that you run into problems. When, because the purpose of it is to bring spiritual maturity and effective service. So when you take persons and you put them in the position without God's approval, you're going to find that there are problems regarding this. Now, those who function, the people who are called to work or to function in the vineyard in these offices, are not just they don't just carry titles. It's not about titles. It's about operating from a spiritual position that have been established in the spiritual realm, and that these persons have been ordained by God to operate from that position in the realm of the spirit, enabling them to minister with authority, with grace, and with divine assignment. And what happened when you place persons there who are not ordained? Sometimes they don't have the character, sometimes they don't have what it takes. You know, we have to be developed in certain ways for God to place us to work in these offices. And so we find people in these offices who, you know, they don't carry out the duties effectively because they're not trained enough. They were placed in these offices too quickly, right? It takes time to grow and mature in so that you can operate from these offices. Each of the fivefold ministry is, go ahead, Deacon.
Yes, good night, everyone. Yes, I like the part that you say you have to be set apart for those ministries. It have to be given to God for you to operate. And you can't just take up these gifts, you know, the fivefold ministry gifts, but just showcasing. You remember when we read in the book of Acts, it speak about the seven sons of Sceva. You know, these guys see Paul and the apostles working miracles and doing casting out devils and all of that. And they take it upon themselves to go drive out demons. And the demon would respond to them and say, "Who are you? Who authorized you? You know, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who authorized you? Who are you? You know?" And they would have meet their demise right there when they were flogged by the demons. I just want to share that.
Thank you so much. Fits nicely with and cementing the point that I'm trying to make. Yes, it's true. You have to be called. And Deacon would have given an instance, and we're going to look at some other scriptures in the Word of God that tells us that you have to be called to operate in these offices, right? It has to be from the Holy Spirit. Now, each of the offices in the fivefold ministry has a unique calling that is specific to an assignment. There are not steps in a hierarchy or levels that you move through. And to be honest with you, I was of the perception at one point that, you know, you have to be a pastor first or a teacher first, then you go to be a pastor, then to be an evangelist. And then, you know, just searching the Word of God and seeking the Holy Spirit, I realized it's not, they're not levels that you move through. You know, each of these offices are unique. And God would call different people to operate in each of these offices. Amen. We do have some persons who operate in more than one office, right? But you have to be called by God to do so. All right. And as we go down, I want to use an illustration as to how the fivefold ministry works together, like one hand with five different fingers, right? This is your hand. You have the pinky, the ring finger, the middle finger, the index finger, and your thumb. And it's an analogy that they use to compare the fivefold ministry, saying that the thumb is like the apostle. The apostle functions like the thumb, right? Touching and strengthening every other ministry. Because you know the thumb can touch every other finger, right? Touching and strengthening all of the other ministries, the office of the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. The apostles help to establish foundations, to train leaders, and to bring order and structure, right? That's like the thumb. When we look at the index finger operates like the prophet. The index finger, what do you use the index finger to do? They also have another name for the index finger. Anybody knows? You use it to point, and it's also called the pointer because thank you, I'm a bright man. The prophet is like the index finger pointing direction by revealing what is in God's heart, giving warnings, confirming visions, and just helping believers to hear God clearly. So the prophet is like the pointer finger giving direction. When they give you prophecies, they help you to, you know, seek the Lord. They help you to know what to seek the Lord about, right? It's not to say you take it and you run with it because, you know, the Bible says the revelation comes in part and prophecies comes in part. So when the prophet gives you insight or give you instructions from the Lord, go pray about it, right? Get intimate with God and put it before him. So that he will, because what is revealed, what the prophet will share with you is what he has heard from God, and it may not be revealed in full, right? So you spending time in prayer, developing on that, you will have clarity as to how to move the way that the prophet would tell you to do. So it's like the pointer finger. Now the middle finger, the evangelist is like the middle finger. If you look at my middle finger, and for most persons, if you look at your hand, your middle finger is the longest finger on your hand. I mean, it should be on everybody's hand, right? The evangelist resembles the middle finger, reaching the farthest by winning souls, preaching the gospel boldly, and steering the church towards evangelism. That's the middle finger. The evangelist, the office of the evangelist, like the middle finger, reaching the farthest, winning souls, preaching the gospel boldly, steering the church towards evangelism. These persons have a passion for soul winning. All right. The pastor It's like the ring finger. Anybody want to take a guess? Why is the pasta like the ring finger? Marriage. Marriage of who, Sister Kenesha? Ah, amen. Tell you, I have some critical thinkers in my class. Kudos to you. I'm going to send it to my treasure box. Praise God. So you can get a gift. Sister Kenesha and Sister Chantal. All right. So the pastor is like the ring finger representing the relationship and the covenant through caring for, protecting, and nurturing God's people. Right? It's like they're in a relationship with the church. You know? Yes. So caring for, nurturing, and protecting God's people is a task assigned to the person who operates in the office of the pastor. And then the pinky finger is like the teacher, right? The teacher functions like the pinky finger. It is small, yes, but it is very necessary for a balance. And the teacher balances the ministry by grounding the church in sound doctrine. The word of God, the lack of knowledge of people perish. So the teacher is just as important to provide balance for the church, sound doctrine, helping believers to grow, you know, through clear understanding of the scripture. Yes, Sister Chantal, clarity, clear understanding of the scripture is what the teacher and capacity is, right? Because you're reading the word and you're trying to do what the word says, but if you don't understand what the word means, and if you can't dig deep and get clarity as to what the word is, then we're going to be in trouble. Amen. And so these five fingers represent the fivefold ministry. These gifts work together, like the process of building a house. This is another analogy. The apostles lay the foundation, the prophets provide directions, the evangelists bring people in, pastors care for them, and the teachers help them to mature. I will point out that no role can replace the other. You see, God has infinite wisdom, and He made the fivefold ministry. Each of the offices within that ministry needs to be functioning. Amen. No role can replace the other, but instead, each one completes the balance. Each of them is just as important and is needed to balance the health of the church. All right, Sister Minister Lynette, I agree. The pastor has a shepherding heart, which is what we're going into now. People who operate in the office of a pastor, how do you know, people of God, that you are called to operate within the office of a pastor? We're going to look at that. The office of a pastor is, like I said before, God appointed, calling within the body of Christ, who functions as a spiritual shepherd. And would have mentioned before, the pastor cares for and nurtures and guides and protects God's people. Right? We see when we look at different scriptures, they tend to use the imagery of a shepherd and his flock to talk about the pastor, right? To emphasize the responsibility of a pastor to lead God's flock with love, with patience, with integrity, like a shepherd boy would look out for the sheep and make sure that they are at a place of safety, looking out for the wolves that are the other animals that may want to come to attack the sheep, looking out for them, you know, bringing them to safety, bringing them to greener pastures, stuff like that, nurturing them, guiding them. That's the responsibility of a pastor. Ephesians 4 verse 11 lists pastor among the fivefold offices that God gave to the church, showing that the pastor's role is essential for the maturity of believers. Pastors, when I was growing up, I used to think the only thing pastors then just preach. But as I grow, I realize that it's more than just preaching. It's more than just preaching. They walk closely, they roll in clothes, walking closely with the congregation, tending to their spiritual well-being and helping them to grow into the full character of Christ. Right? They're the one that is like in the field. And you know, when I would read up like this course that I'm doing about leadership and about pastors, I learned about servant leadership, right? That's who the pastors are. They serve as they lead. Amen. Praise God. When we look at scriptures, pastors are described as those who feed the flock with sound doctrine, spiritual nourishment, and guidance. Jeremiah 3, verse 15 reads, "And I will give you pastors after my own heart." This is what Jesus was saying, right? "I will give you pastors after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." So one of their tasks is to feed us with knowledge and understanding, right? It includes sharing God's words, not just sharing God's words, but sharing it, yes, and then helping believers to develop a deeper relationship, providing that guidance that they need, that coaching that Minister Lynette would have mentioned. Yes, the counsel, the coach, the serve, and the care for God's people. Right? Acts 20, verses 28 to 30 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flocks over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Evidence that, you know, persons who operate in the office of a pastor, they don't just go there. They have to be called there and sent there, put in that office by the Holy Spirit. It says that the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So I can't get up today and say I'm going to be a pastor and you know, no, it's a calling. God has to call me into that office for me to operate effectively within that ministry. All right? So it shows this the scripture would have shown talk would have highlighted the protective roles of a pastor that requires they're going to require discernment because they're working in the field and close up to you. They're providing guidance, they're providing coaching, mentorship. You know, they are going to require discernment. They're going to require patience. They're going to be required to know the scripture. They must have a strong foundation in the scripture because as I would have looked on, I realized that when I was, you know, doing the research and digging into the word, pastors are held accountable before God for how they lead people. And so as a pastor, you need to know the word. You need to be able to produce the word in every situation because God is going to hold you accountable. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Mitzelin. Sister.
Yes, sister. Good evening, everybody.
Good
As you
evening.
are talking about the office of a pastor, right? My husband was a pastor, and I'm telling you, work, 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 work. Everybody's business was his business, and everything that happened, persons would call him, and he would have to be there. It's like you have no time for you. You would have given up yourself to serve others. And after he passed away, they said, "Okay, your husband is dead. You will be next in line for the pastor of the church." And I said, "Mash down that line in the name of Jesus." I said, "No such thing, because God did not give me no direction to be any pastor." Right? Because it's not a hand-me-down thing. It's not something that you just hand down. You must be called. Because those things that I saw my husband doing, I know I am not called for that. Right? So I tell them, no, You go again, ask God again who, but it's not me. Because I don't, because that office is not an easy one. And so you have to know what it is. Because if it was some people that run and jump and take pastorship, and what happened? They can't manage it, or they were not called by God to do this. These things you have to be called to do. So you went, because somebody said, oh, and I noticed that in some churches, it's like a family thing. Oh, your father was, so your father passed away, so now it's you. And then that person passed away, so now it's the son or the daughter. And they are not called. And that is why in what is happening nowadays in the churches, churches are just I it's hard to find a church that serves God, because this it has become now a social club, because everybody is hand-me-down, nobody is called again. Everybody want to get up tomorrow morning and they are pastor or minister or bishop and this and that within the church, instead of sitting down and waiting on God to appoint you. If it is
Amen.
the will of God, you will get that position. But everybody, nobody want to be followers in the church anymore. Everybody want to be leaders. Nobody want to follow. Everybody wants to lead. So you find a church where you have struggle, power struggle. Right? And so being a pastor or any of those offices that you would have called is not an easy shoes to fit. And everybody wants to be leader, but when they get it, can they manage it? And so let us be called by God. Let us wait until our appointed time. That is just my few words, sister.
Thank you so much, Sister Miss Elaine. Confirmation. You have to be called. Because the thing is, why let us see why it's important. Sister Chantal, I'm going to take you after another 30 seconds. I don't want to lose the thought. Right? If you aren't called into the office by God, it means that God would have given you, who is the called, a special grace. God is going to give you a heart to love. There are certain things that are required for you to operate within that office. And if God calls you there, best believe he's going to anoint you with those things that are necessary to function effectively. Now, we have problems when persons are placed there who are not necessarily called by God, and they don't have the love for the people. They don't have, that nurturing and caring and shepherding attitude towards people, because they didn't receive it from God, because God never placed them there. So you understand? So thank you, Sister Minister Lynette. Go ahead, Sister Chantal.
Yes, that is exactly the point that you just made. That's exactly what I was about to say. Because when I was looking through the story, and this was like recently, I was studying David a little more, and I was just looking at the anointing of God on different persons in the Bible. And I'm looking through it and I'm like, whoa, sometimes we think that we are anointed, and you said it earlier, for our own sakes, but that's not it. Because the anointing of God on our lives is literally God pouring grace in our lives. And that grace and favor is not for you. It's really for the deliverance of people, the edifying of people, the same thing that the ministry in the scripture would have just stated, right? And so even looking back on David's story, as minister would have just said, some of us, we don't want to wait because it's a nowadays thing. And I noticed it so much on social media. As soon as they start to talk about a few scriptures, you're now a prophetess, you're now a prophet, you're now a pastor. You don't even feel the anointing of God to confirm that you are working or should work in that office. And when I was going through the scriptures, the word that came to my spirit was, let me just look back for it, because I wrote it the other day, preparing you for what you're anointed for. And I was just thinking about it, and I'm thinking about David's story, how he was anointed, but then sent back to the field. So he wasn't even placed in the office that he was anointed for. He still had to wait. And even when they were looking at his countenance, God was like, to the prophet Samuel, that's not the reason why, because he was anointed for the heart that he had. So when people are there, oh, I want to be a pastor, I want to do this just for the sake of, that's just pride. And God sees the proud afar off. And so persons have to be very careful because they're going to have to talk to God about that on the day of judgment. So that's my three thoughts.
Thank you so much. Very profound. It's you have to be anointed. We have to be anointed and placed in those offices. We can't just get up and go because we're going to fail miserably. Because guess what? The end of the day, it's not our doing, right? It's from God. And everybody's temperament is different. Your personality is different. The heart that you have is different. That's why when Samuel went to anoint Jesse's son, when we go for anoint David, the others were there. And he couldn't anoint any of them because God never seen of them fit. They didn't have the heart, right? So it is very important that we, make sure that we pay attention to where our calling is. Because some of us are called to lead and some of us are really not. And it's not, I'm not saying this against anybody. I'm just putting it out there. The Bible would have said some to this, some to that. And but all of us would have had different gifts. So let us just focus on where our gifts are and, ask God to guide us along that path that we may walk in our purpose. Amen. Praise God. When we look at, and as I get ready to close off this, the office of the pastor, we look at John 10, verses 11 and 12. John 10, verses 11 and 12 reads, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf come in and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Right? And when we look at this scripture, we see where Jesus was talking to a Pharisee and sharing that, he's the good shepherd. He said, we see where Jesus was saying that he would give his life for his sheep, and we saw that where that was manifested for us. Right? The scripture talks about the comparison of the good shepherd would be to that of a pastor that would care so deeply, for his sheep to the point, not saying that he would literally have to give his life for the sheep, not in necessarily in the physical, but when you accept the calling, as Sister Miss Linda share, to operate in the office of a pastor, you give up your life. You have to understand now that this is a calling. It's going to require you spending a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time in the word, a lot of time counseling and tending to the needs of those who are entrusted in your care. So you're giving up your life, really, right? And figuratively speaking, and that's what was being compared here. But the scripture also talks about a hireling, and it caught me. I was like, what's a hireling? Who's a hireling? And when I did some research, it says that a hireling is somebody who works purely for wages or personal gain. And these persons, the hirelings, lack genuine care. They lack loyalty. They lack commitment to the people or to the work that was involved. They just do it because it was handed to them. They do it because it puts you in the spotlight. They do it because there's a certain salary or wage attached to it. They're just doing it. And when we run into problems when those persons come because they don't have the genuine care, they don't have the loyalty, the commitment that is required to operate in this office. All right? Praise God. So as Sister Mitty Lynn said, it is really something. It's not just something that it's challenging, but God would have anointed those believers that He calls to operate in those offices. While every believer is called to love and encourage and to spread the gospel. The person who operates in the office of a pastor has a distinct anointing and to care for the household of faith. They are concerned deeply with people who are lost, struggling, or weak in the faith. And this concern is not just something that come and just leave. It's consistent over time. So if you find yourself having thoughts about people who are lost and it's constant on you, and you're burdened by this thought, by persons who are struggling or weak in their faith, you have that care, that deep concern, and that love for others, then maybe God is calling you into the office of a pastor, maybe. But it would mean what this means for you is that you now have an assignment, because you have to pray. Right? You don't, even though you have to be called into the office, you're not going to just be called, and because God said, I'm going to call Sister Chantal, automatically take you and put you in the office. Sister Chantal would have talked about David. He was anointed and sent back to the field. He had to go through a process. Process is very important, and it cannot be overlooked. When you overlook process and you skip, character is not developed, and then you find yourself at a place and the character is not matching. Amen. So it requires prayer. All right, and we're going to stop there for the office of a pastor. Hopefully I can go through the office of a teacher before we close. All right. So the office of a teacher. Any comments before we move on? Any questions about the office of a pastor? All right. Are we learning? Are we flowing?
Yes, yes.
Listen.
Yes, Mr. Camille, we are learning.
Praise God.
Yes, I'm learning. And
All
it's good that
right.
you touch on the point
Amen.
that some of the pastors, they accept the office for the wrong motives. Most of them like us, like financial gain. They would take it because they think it's a lucrative vocation where they can go in and make some quick money and whatever. And it
True.
just distort the thing. It just turn things in a different direction. I wonder why so many of them are stressed,
My God. My
Yes,
God.
amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon, for sharing. Yeah. And so we, as a believer, it is our responsibility to be praying for our pastors as well. Amen. Because being in a leadership position, it's not easy, as persons would have shared. And some of the things you don't even know until you get there and you say, oh my God, and know that all it came with all of this, right? There's a saying that says, heavy is the head that wear the crown, right? In leader, it's very challenging. And so there are some situations that the enemy just him after you, because if you can fall as a leader, everybody that is looking to you will fall too, right? And so it's important for us to lift them up, because even though God holds them in such a accountable regard, because they're accountable to God, but they are still human beings, prone to error. So as believers in the body of Christ, let us lift them up. Anybody you know, it doesn't have to be a pastor, anybody you know operating in a leadership position, just lift them up in prayer. Because the more prayer you can give to them, it's the better it is, the better they will lead. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. All right, so let's move on to the office of the teacher. Now, the office of the teacher is the point of the pinky. How am I doing it mix up? Anyway, it refers to the ministry's core function of revealing God's word. Right, the this teacher, his ministry, her ministry is revealing the word of God, emphasizing understanding of the Bible. Right, so that's their sole purpose, bringing about spiritual intelligence. That falls under their cabinet too, and apply kingdom truths for the victory and purpose. Now, when a person operates in the office of a teacher, And this is not when you operate in the office of a teacher, it's different from you being a teacher by profession. Let me just say that. It's different. But those who operate within in the realm of the spirit, in the office of a teacher, make complex truth. It might be complex, a complex spiritual truth, but God has given them the grace and the anointing to break it down in such a way that it's so simple for us to understand. When they talk, no matter how the situation or the scripture was complex, when they start to talk, yes, you say, wait there, what, me never see that. It just seems so easy and they flow and it appears so effortless. And that is because it's not the individual, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who operate in that office, they have one job: open up to the Holy Spirit. Because once they open up to the Holy Spirit, everything else is gonna fall in place. Amen. Amen. Like
Amen.
I would have shared before, their job is to make sure that the church is based on sound doctrines. So make sure that the word of God is not misinterpreted. People are not misled by the word. Because sometimes people take the word out of the Bible and apply it to their situation, and they misquote the word and stuff like that. The teacher ensures that there's no misinterpretation of the word. Amen. Their responsibilities include explaining the scriptures with accuracy. They guide others to apply the word of God to their life, and they strengthen the faith of others through understanding. They also, this one is hard, they correct false teachings. Correcting false teachings, and it's not always easy, but if it falls under your responsibility, then God has given you the grace and the anointing that you need to operate in that office. Amen. They explain, how is this different from the office of a pastor? Anybody want to try that? How is the office of a teacher, based on what I shared, different from the office, those who operate in the office of a pastor?
Yes, sis, if I may, the teacher would go more in depth with the word, and I would make sure that the hearers or people, the congregation understands before they move on. It would like a spoon feed. The teacher would more like spoon feed it and give them practical examples. Meanwhile, the pastor would basically look at it at a wider area. The pastor would implies. Meanwhile, the teacher now would teach as if the student don't know nothing, like build them up from ground up.
Agree. Valid point. Thank you, Deacon. Pastor has a more one-on-one and one-on-one, the pastor counsels and form relationships and so forth. I do agree. I agree. All right, excellent. We're learning, man. And so we can move on. We can flow. The teacher's office, as Deacon would say, they are more in depth. They dissect the word. They dig deep and reveal revelations based on what the word of God says, right? The persons in the operating in the office of a pastor focuses more on caring for the flock, nurturing them, guiding them, counseling them, and just, taking time, guide them. But the teacher now give truths from the word of God, right? The teachers emphasize knowledge and revelation, while the pastors emphasize relationship and oversight and spiritual support. All right. But both of the roles are very important. One is doctrinal in nature, that's the teacher, and one is like shepherding in nature. Sorry. Sorry, I want to sneeze, but it won't come. All right. Let's continue. Persons who are called into the teacher of the office are anointed with a special grace to demonstrate one, an uncommon love for God's word. As a teacher, you find, how do you know if you're called into the office of a teacher? You find that you have an uncommon love for the word of God. It is unmatched. You just yearn after it. You just want the word of God. You know, there's just a deep desire for to get the word, to dig into the word of God. And the only sort of satisfaction you can get is when you start go through the word of God and revelation start to come. Then you start to feel fulfilled. Then you know that you're called into the office of a teacher. That's one of the signs, right? You might not be able to explain the love. You might not be able to explain the yearning. People may not understand you. Oh, everything biblical, everything in God. Yes, you don't have any control over it. God has given you that grace. You are called into the office of a teacher. I see some comments coming in the chat. The office of a teacher provides a sound biblical instruction which equips the church for faithful living. And the office of a pastor guides, nurtures, and protects the church body. Excellent, excellent. All right, I have some scholars in my class tonight. Praise God. All right, moving along. Another sign that you are called into the office of a teacher, you have a divine ability to explain spiritual truths in a way that others can understand, that is beyond your natural capabilities as an individual. You just find yourself, you know, you're talking about something. You may not even be familiar with whatever the topic, but as the person talk, maybe you didn't even think about what the person is saying before. Maybe you didn't understand it before. But you get, it's almost like as you listen to the person, there's a download in your spirit and you're able to share with this person. Sometimes when you finish and, you know, you reflect on it, you're frightened. Like, where did that come from? I didn't even know that before. It means that you're operating in the gift of teaching. You're operating. In the gift of teaching, which means for you need to be reading, you need to be praying and seeking the Lord that you may be developed with such maturity that you operate in the office of a teacher. All right. Next point, you have an unquenchable desire to help others grow in Christ. You just want to see people growing in the Lord. You want to see them mature. And if they're not grow, it burden you. You just want to teach, to share the truth from the Word of God, allowing others to see it, to understand it, and to be, you know, propelled into growth or to be transformed, to have a just to grow. You can't explain it. It becomes a burden. It becomes you're so desirous of seeing others do better that, you know, it becomes a burden for you when you hear them talk. You just want everybody to be edified, to know that they can mature. Amen. Teacher wants them to mature in their faith. Absolutely. Yes. As a teacher, you want them to mature in their faith. Amen. Praise God. Also, when you are operating in this office, you have a spiritual discernment to recognize truth from error. It's not, and you find yourself being so keen. You examine every little detail, not by choice, but you just find yourself, you examine it so keenly. And even if you don't know what I have said that is wrong, the moment I say it, even if you can't say she said that and it's not right, or she said that, you just know there's an inkling in your spirits. Something not right. Even if you can't say that is it, that's the Holy Spirit that's quickening you, to discern that something is off. I may not be able to put my hand on it, but it don't feel right. Right? The spiritual discernment within a teacher, and it's a coupling of gifts again. It's so sharp, you know, that they identify these things effortlessly. They're not trying to do it. It's just God has anointed them for that purpose, right? So they are able to detect an error. It doesn't matter how small the error is, they're able to detect that error through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not any one person. It's not that they're listening to scrutinize. It's not that they're trying to put anybody. It's just the Holy Spirit that is heightened in their discernment that makes them very detailed, look at every corner. You know, it's beyond human comprehension. And if you are such a person, your calling is into the office of a teacher. So you need to be praying. Persons operating in this office also will be able to teach the truth, which is the word of God, in such a way that evidence of fruit is manifested in the lives of the people as they grow in faith and obedience. So, for example, let's say a deacon is a teacher, is operating in that office, and he comes and he breaks down the truth in such a way that it is understood by believers. Believers take on to it now. And then guess what? The same things that he would have taught about, you can see where these things are being manifested in the lives of those who he would have spoken to. There's fruit, they're growing. That can only happen to the guidance of a teacher, right? So if you are such a person where your impact is great, you have an ability that you probably can't even explain, but you influence, or you know, through the power of the Holy Spirit, conviction comes upon unbelievers and they want to change and they want to do better and they yearn after it and they start doing better and there's fruit, then you are called to operate within that office. All right. And as we go down to close, the calling of a teacher requires a passion for the scripture, as was stated, commitment to helping the body of Christ mature, and a strong desire for prayer. If you're called into the office of a teacher, you have a strong desire for prayer. Why? Because you know that the word of God, or you should have a strong desire. The word of God in James 3:1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church." This is Paul talking. Is Paul? Not many of you should become, I don't think it's Paul, teachers in the church. "For we who teach will be judged more strictly. It is an office with a great anointing. It rests upon the chosen ones, but these individuals must have a strong desire to pray to ensure accuracy for the sake of their own judgment." Because if you're called into the office of a teacher, if you don't spend time in prayer, seeking approval from the Holy Spirit, you're going to come out, you're going to mislead God's people, and you're going to be judged more strictly based on what the Word of God says. Amen. So you should have a strong desire to pray. And when you hear it and you know, go confirm again with God, because when we come out and we share and people take it and they leave, then they move. It's judgment for us. Amen. And so we want to make sure that we are spending time in prayer. In second Timothy 2, verse 1, we see Timothy, it reads, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus Christ. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." We see where Paul is encouraging Timothy, first of all, to rely on God's grace for strength in this ministry. He said, "My dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus Christ," showing that even if you're operating in the office of a teacher, you don't come out and just do it because, "Oh, I operate in this office and I can do it." You have to rely on the grace of God. God lift up in grace, you turn over. Right? You have to rely on the grace of God, is what Paul is saying. He reminds him that he has received sound teachings confirmed by many witnesses, and so he must now pass on these truths. So when we are exposed, you know, to the word of God and we get the truth, we pass it on to those around us, right? Who can continue teaching. It cements the points that teachers share, not based on their own knowledge, not based on their own understanding. They rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance. It emphasized also the importance of studying accurately the word, of God, showing diligence and discernment, because these are essential tools for people who operate in the office of a teacher. All right. Do you have any questions, any comments? Anybody want to share?
Yes, Sister Camille, and I just want to share that sometimes the pastor is a teacher as
Absolutely.
well. Yes.
All right. I was literally typing absolutely to Sister Chantal. Yes. Yes, Sister Chantal, like I would have said earlier, there are some persons who you can operate in more than one offices. God can give you the grace to do that. All right.
Yes, Sister Camille.
Go ahead.
Yes, for the office of a teacher, I look deep into that because in a classroom, correct me if I'm wrong, you have children that functions on different levels, right? So you have the one that are really slow. You have the one them next to the slow, and so it goes in kid. And so you have the ones them who, as teacher said something, they get it. But you have to, as a teacher, to be able to, because all of them have to be in this very same class. So as a teacher, you have to find that way, that strategy, to teach that all of them, whether slow or fast, get it. Because they must pass. All of them getting the same syllabus, the same teaching from the same syllabus, it's everything the same. So they must pass, whether they are slow or they are fast. So is it as we as children of God. When a teacher teaches in Bible study or our Sunday school, whichever platform they teach from, they have to be able to do so in a way that those who don't understand quickly will be able to still get it so they can grow and be mature just the same and as those who get it fast. Because you have some people, you teach them something, you bring it to the very lowest you can, they still not get it. But how are you going to leave them there? You got to find a way now to ensure that they really get it and come up. So it takes prayer, as you said. We must pray. We must seek God, and we must rely on the Holy Spirit that He would teach us and help us. So as teachers, He can teach for all of our students to learn and become bright scholars, moving from one level or from one grade to the other. Thank you.
Excellently put, Sister Nadine. Yes, in the classroom, we call that differentiated instructions, as Sister Terry put it in the chat. Yes, you have to cater to all levels. So you have to figure out now what is going to cater to the needs of this set as opposed to that set, the low group, the bubble kids, which is in the middle, and the high flyers, which are very quick, right? But as the teacher, as the person operating in the office of a teacher, you're going to, God has anointed you. It's not something where you have to go out. God just placed the anointing upon you, and you spending the time in prayer, activating that anointing, connecting with the Holy Spirit, is able to know exactly what to say, how to break it down, so that those individuals understand and are challenged to grow spiritually. Amen. Thank you so much. Bless you. Go ahead, Elder.
Okay, thank you, Sister Nadine. I was here, like putting my thoughts together to comment, and you did. Thank you for sharing. And I want to just say that as the professional teacher is desirous of growth and high performance in the student body, the office of the teacher wants to see growth and maturity and spiritual strength being enveloped in the church. Bless the Lord.
Amen. Agreed. Agreed. Praise God. Anybody else before I hand over to Sister Nadine? It's very interesting. It's a lot of information, but we're going to stop there for tonight and then we'll pick it up. I don't want to drag it out, but I don't want to just push it on and then we miss meaning, right? You have to gauge what your students are capable of handling, you know. So I'm gauging and the Holy Spirit is nudging me to stop. And so I will stop. Any final remarks? And then I hand over to Sister Nadine.
Good night again, everyone. I just want to say thank you, Sister Camille. This is such a mouthful. I am refreshed. I am knowledgeable. There are some things that have been made clear for me, and I truly want to thank God for the teaching, of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I must say that in the past class, I've get to recognize a gift that people over the years have been telling me that I possess, but I just didn't see it until you had that discussion with us. So I bless the Lord for these teachings, and I just want to thank the Lord for you. And I pray that He will continue to rest His hand, rest His anointing, rest His Holy Spirit upon you as He equip you for ministry. We bless the Lord.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sister Camille, I've learned so much from this teaching. I've written down so much. I make so much notes and jottings, and I know it's going to go far away. A lot of stuff has become clear to me, you know. A lot of stuff has been revealed to me as you point them out, itemize them, and God bless you. Keep his anointing on you as you grow in your ministry. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deacon. God bless you, Sister Nadine. Over to you, my sister.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. There's a song in the Redemption book, and the song said that sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. So tonight we have received some wonderful words, beautiful words, the word of the Lord. And this will equip us that we will grow from strength to strength. We'll be encouraged, you know, we will know God some more and know that it's not just those gifts that we see in the Bible. They have deeper depth. They are like umbrella that carries the different one underneath. So tonight we give God thanks and we give Him praise for His word. We pray the blessing of the Lord over your sister Camille as you continue to study the word that you'll be able to teach. Amen. And lead God's people based on the word of God. We give Him all praise and we give Him all glory. I want to thank you all tonight for joining us. God bless you. I want to say welcome to all those who are on the platform. For those who came in late, welcome. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying the time with us. Praise God. And I know this is food. This is, you know, because the word of God said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And these are the words of God tonight. So I want to thank you for coming. I want to thank you for joining with us. And I pray that you've been blessed. You have do your jottings like Deacon did, and that you can review them. Sister Yuli always said, regurgitate it like the goat, you chew his cud, and we bring it up back and chew on it so that they will bring your life and strength. And sometimes when we are in difficulties and hardship, we will, you know, draw back from the word of God so we can find sustenance and life. Thank you again, Sister Camille. Thank you, brethren. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for being here. Tonight is one of those nights that, you know, it's a day that we've seen. And if there's anyone on the platform that have not known Christ, you know, you have not accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, it is a perfect time to do so. Opportune time is here. Opportunity is given. So you can do so. And, you know, just give Him a chance. Somebody will say, try Him and see. And then you will know for yourself. Because once you try Him, He's going to hold you. If there's any letting go, it must be you, but not Him. So give Him a chance in your life and let Him be the Lord of your life. God bless you as you do so. You can reach out to any of the leaders on the line, and you know, somebody will be there to encourage you, pray with you, and counsel you. God bless you. Tonight again, I just want to say welcome and thanks for coming. God bless you. Thank you to Sister Pamela for doing our devotional exercise. God bless you. And there's no one that work for the Lord that will not be paid. Praise God. We work physically, we're looking for our paycheck money. But when we work for the Lord, His blessings. And blessings are wide, you know. So the Lord bless you. Thank you for doing your devotion and continue to work for the Lord and let the Lord lead and guide you. Thank you very much. And before we wrap up in prayer, I'm going to ask Sister Yuli to be praying before we go. As a ministry that we keep to stay together, you know, be like that cord that cannot be broken. You know, continue to love the Lord and trust Him. Continue to be willing to work for Him in this hard and trying time, time that is so perilous, where, you know, men became lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. This perilous time that we are living in and go through, we know that God is able to keep us. So continue to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. God bless you tonight for coming again. And over to Sister Yulia, she pray our closing prayer in Jesus' name.
Bless the Lord. We praise the Lord tonight, brethren. I'm gonna ask Sister Terry if she could just unmute her mic if she's able to and just sing this song. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just one time for us, and then I'll go into prayer. Are you able to, Sister Terry?
Yes, sis. I only know the
Yes, sing it.
line. In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Hallelujah.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Holy God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path.
Jesus.
Thank you, Almighty God, for this time. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that has been in the midst of us. Thank you, oh God, for your word, which was dissected, hallelujah, and shared among us tonight. Thank you for the knowledge garnered, my God. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, for the clarity in your words tonight. Thank you, oh God, that your people have been fed. And mighty God, even as we eat of the word, hallelujah, your word remind us, God, that we should hide them in our hearts, Almighty God. So even as we hide your words in our heart, help us, oh God, to allow it to lead us and to direct us, to convict us, to reprove us. Hallelujah, mighty God, to instruct us and to teach us. We bless your name, mighty God, for the Bible,
Thank
the
you.
written word that we can rely on, that we can get substance from, that we can get the truth of God from. Hallelujah, that provide food. Hallelujah, that we can eat and grow in you. We bless your name tonight,
Jesus.
Almighty God. We thank you, oh God, for your servant, your
Thank
children,
you, Jesus.
my God, Sister Camille
Oh God.
Pierre Chand, one whom you have appointed appointed as leader of this ministry. My God, one Almighty God who is so passionate and is ready and willing to go beyond and above so that your word can be shared among your people. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus for a special touch upon this woman of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will breathe upon her. Breathe upon your chosen. Breathe, Almighty God, upon your servant, the breath of life. I pray, Almighty God, that you will wrap her up in your blood tonight, your blood-stained banner. My God Almighty, I pray for your protection, for your guidance. God, I pray that every plan of the enemy, Almighty God, towards your daughter, Mighty God, in the name of Jesus, will become naught, even as she avail herself to be used by you.
Yes,
I pray that you continue to break her and mold her and make her. I pray that you continue to equip her, Almighty God, so that your gospel, hallelujah, your kingdom here on earth can be flourished, Almighty God, through your daughter, through this ministry, through each person, Almighty God, who is present here, who is willing to give of themselves for your glory. Hallelujah. Mighty God, I thank you again for the prayer portal to Heaven Ministries International. Mighty God, a movement, a ministry, which was not formulated, my God Almighty, by mistake, but was formulated by your divine authority,
yes,
God, so that your people can be nourished, so that your people can be fed, Mighty God, so that we can grow in wisdom, so our spiritual man can be developed, Almighty God. Some of us who feel withered can be flourished through this ministry. I continue, Almighty God, to surrender, Mighty God, everything about this ministry to you. I thank you for your word, Mighty God, which was planted in our hearts tonight. God, help us to be able, through these teachings, to discern our gifts and to speak, Almighty God, hallelujah, to Almighty God, your word to be manifested in us through them, Mighty God, so that we can serve in our own different capacity for the building up of the church of God. Hallelujah. I pray for each participant here tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know all about us. You know our ups. You know our downs. You know, Almighty God, when we falter, you know, when we fail. And tonight, Lord, you know everything about each of us. Those of us here, Mighty God, who are suffering from some form of infirmity, sickness, Mighty God, be it physical, be it mental, be it spiritual, my God, we believe, hallelujah, in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
That in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To see us through every situation. Amen. And my God, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the reminder that any condition, any situation that we may be faced with, there is a word in the holy book, the Bible, hallelujah, which can minister to that situation. Even Almighty God, as your servant Ezekiel was carried out into the valley of dry bones, and you said, can these bones live? And he said, thou knowest. You said, minister to them. Hallelujah. Help us to minister to our needs, Almighty
God.
And then there will be a shaking, and
hallelujah,
will come to his bones, and you will cause snows to grow upon them. You will cause flesh to grow upon them while we minister. Mighty God, you will cause skin, hallelujah, to cover them, and you will cause wind to blow life into them, the breath of life. Thank you for your awesome presence. Thank you for your Holy
Spirit, thank you for your word, the
Thank you.
written word, the spoken word. My God, we know that the written word is there, but it is of no effect unless we read them, Almighty God, and understand them and apply them. Remind us, God, to read your word, hallelujah, and to seek your clarity and to seek your guidance, hallelujah, and to seek your wisdom and to apply them to our lives. Bless us tonight, even as Mighty God, as we depart one from another from this platform tonight. May your Holy
Hallelujah.
Spirit go with each and every one of us, oh God, while we hold your word that is written on the tablets of our hearts close to us, Almighty God. And then we, God Almighty, will not sin when we reflect on these words. Thy words is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thy words have we hidden in our hearts that we may not sin against thee. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Almighty God. Hallelujah. As we bless you tonight and we tell your thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can we
Praise
bless
God.
the Lord, people of God? Those of you who are able to, can we
Yeah.
unmute and just
Thank
worship
you,
the Lord?
Thank
Hallelujah.
you,
Just
Master God. We honor you,
Hallelujah.
praise.
Hallelujah.
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 Jesus,
Hallelujah.
you are
Thank you,
worthy.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you,
Thank
Master
you, Lord.
God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is none
Mighty
like
God.
unto
Mighty
you,
God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Mighty God. Hallelujah,
Almighty Word, God.
Jesus.
And we tell
Thank
you,
you,
thank
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. That's the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Camille, do you have any closing word before I ask Deacon to do the benediction?
Yes, Sister Nadine, just a reminder that we have Bible study this Saturday on Faith Defender Bible Study Ministry on the same platform. We start at 8. We're looking at the book of Corinthians. It's still Corinthians, right, Deacon?
Yes, it is Corinthians 11.
So we're looking, so you can read it beforehand. And so when you come on, we have meaningful discussion and you'll be able to partake in it. So that's one reminder. And next week, Thursday, at this same time, well, 8 o'clock, on this same platform, we have our Christmas Cantata Singspiration. It's supposed to be a night of praise and worship through the singing of carols and and a mighty move of God. Amen. So join us next Thursday at 8 p.m. and come to our Christmas Cantata. Bring a song in your heart as we come to worship the Lord together in the beauty of holiness. Amen. Make sure you come out tonight. Make sure you're on time. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
the
God
Lord.
bless you, Sister Nadine.
All right. Deacon, could you do the benediction for us? God bless you.
Bless the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord God of our salvation lift up the light of his holy countenance upon us all and keep us in his sweet spirit of deliverance from this day forward. And even forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bless somebody in Jesus'
Amen.
name. Say,
God
that
bless
you
you,
love
everyone.
Jesus.
Good to see you all. Thank you for
Nice.
joining us. Sister
Tamaya,
Shanique.
God bless you.
Amen. Bless the
Sister
Lord. Bless the Lord.
Shanique,
you.
Sister
Bless
Shanique. Sherdeen.
Charlene. Thank you for
Bless the Lord.
God
Sister
bless you,
Chantel.
everyone.
Oh,
Bless
you
you,
know your
Jesus.
call name. Sister
Bless
Shanique.
the
Bless
Lord.
Camille.
Bless
Bless
the
you, woman
Lord.
of God.
God bless you, my
Amen.
sister.
God.
Sister
Thanks,
Reed.
God.
It's good to
Bless
have
you,
you. God bless
Elder.
you. Bless you,
Praise God.
Sister
God
Tanya.
bless you, everyone.
Sister
The Lord,
Makisha. Brother
bless God for
Nigel.
you.
God bless
God
you,
bless
brother.
Brother
Good
Nigel. Good to
to
see
see
you,
you.
man.
Lord bless
Yes,
you.
good to see you, Brother
Nicole.
Nigel.
Bless
Sister Elisa.
Nicole. We
Sister
praise the
Elisha.
Lord for you.
Elisha.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Nardia, God bless
Sister
you.
Kenya, God
Sister
bless you. Bless the
Tamoya.
Lord.
Sister Kenesha. Brother Scott.
Amen.
Deacon, Brother Scott,
Amen.
Deacon, Sister Eva, God bless you. Elder
Sister
Edward,
Shani, God
yes.
bless you.
Sister
God bless you,
Terry,
Sister
Sister
Camille.
Nadine,
Yes, Minister Lydette. God bless you. God bless. Amen.
Bless you,
Amen.
Sister Pamela. God bless you,
God bless you.
Sister
Bless the Lord.
Sheridan, Sister Ingrid, Sister Dee Bright, Sister Desiree. God bless you.
Yes, bless the Lord. Bless the
Thank
Lord.
God. Have a good night, everyone.
Amen.
Good
Amen, Sister
night.
Camille. Bless God.